Hi, this is Dan Collymore, and you're listening to the B2 Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the B2 Football Podcast. I'm Chris Laffin, and I'm joined this week by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
That's Nick Andrew.
Good evening.
I'm Richard Hewardson.
Good evening.
You all good, lads?
Yeah, now I've heard Richard's sexy good evening.
What's that sexy one?
Was.
I think I forgot to wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
It's next week. Next week's Christmas special.
I did get my first Christmas cards today, if that counts.
I haven't got any in work yet.
That's the real pop Christmas tree.
Merry Christmas to all and to all.
We put our Christmas on Monday.
It's foreshadowing for the next episode.
we had ours lit up last week.
I think the only place starts
on the 1st of December, gents.
Alright.
I think the only place to start is the disaster in Germany, as Man United's crash out of the Champions League. And now enter the, well, I think we can all agree, is the superior Europa League.
Uh-huh.
On Thursday to the 9th to be.
It's not on Channel 5, though, anymore.
Sorry?
It's not on Channel 5 anymore.
You're both talking at the same time. What?
Go on, Richard.
Go on, Anthony.
Fucking hell. Yeah, I said it's not on Channel 5 anymore. It's a shame.
Well, I don't mind it changing because I had to miss last night's football because my wife decided to watch the Great Britain Throwdown of pottery.
Why was she watching the old thing on ITV, which was Jack Whitehall presenting? The Royal Variety Performance, not really, I think.
Because she likes this pottery programme.
Pottery's a bit boring.
So I was going through the BBC website updates. Yeah. Well, we're all still, we have one TV in our house.
Well, I watched the game, so I'll say what I thought of it. I watched Wolfsburg quite a bit. I watched the German League, and Wolfsburg were very attacking side. And I think the game was more how great Wolfsburg were than how poor United were. I thought United were the most aggressive I've seen them all season. They were attacking more than they usually do. They weren't playing their slow passing style. Look where it ended up. I think the passing, the slow style gets criticised way too much. And it showed yesterday with Wolfsburg attacked a weaker defence because of they were too offensive, I thought.
Well, I think United struggled though. The full-back situation that, you know, they ended up with two kids, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't think either of them were at fault. They weren't the reasons why we lost. We lost from set pieces in general, and it was Varela made a few mistakes. Borthwick was generally okay, but I don't think the fullbacks were at fault. It was set pieces and it was silly mistakes. Didn't keep the ball well enough as we normally do because we were trying to play too quickly for me.
Wasn't Schweinsteiger at fault for one?
Yeah, he had a poor game yesterday. He had a poor game and he has been rightly criticised.
I reckon he just played bad on purpose.
I don't think he did that. He just couldn't get into the game at all. He did look tired, as Chris says.
So is anyone actually surprised by the results?
No, I think we did it last week, didn't we? The week before that. We thought United were going to go out.
I thought United would struggle, but I'm surprised that they've gone out of the Champions League overall. But I think the main reason they're out of the Champions League is because of the draw against Ajax. You know, in the Champions League, you win your home games, you qualify. And that game was their key game, which they didn't win and probably should have won.
They should have won both games against PSV.
So the group wasn't as easy as the Neagles making out.
Definitely not. Wolfsburg are a very good side. PSV and CSKA and Moscow aren't pushovers. It's not like we've got Malmo or Basel or someone like that.
Well, I said that when the draw was made. It's like you looked at other groups and PSV were probably the weakest of the seeded teams. Mm-hmm. But if you compare it to most groups, that you get two very good teams and then two pretty poor teams. In United's group, they had just four fairly average teams.
Having said that, though, I just want to make a counter argument. Wolfsburg aren't having, well, they attack well, but they aren't, I think they're about fifth, sixth in the German league this season. They're not as good as other German sides. I don't think PSV are top. I think Ajax are top in the Dutch league, which isn't the strongest league anyway. Zenit dominate the Russian league. So just to put the counter argument out there, there are better teams out there.
Well, none of those four teams are going to go on and win the Champions League, are they?
I think a very naive Man United fan would think their side can win the Champions League.
Yeah, we're only ever going to really get as far as the next round anyway. We probably wouldn't beat any of the other sides that finish first or second.
I think unless we got a Barcelona or Real Madrid or a Bayern, I think most United fans would be expecting us to win the tie, though. I'm not saying we would. I'm saying it'd be expected that we win. PSG as well, add to that bracket possibly, but
yeah, I think that our days as being a European giant are not there at the moment.
Oh no, I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm asking, most United fans would expect their side to win against,
yeah,
in general. Whether we are a major power or not is a different question. I would agree with you that we're in a bracket below the top four or five sides in Europe.
So now we're in the UEFA League, which we've just agreed is the more superior competition anyway. So, will Louis van Gaal take it seriously, or should he just concentrate on the league now?
Need to win the league title in order to, or well, top two, I would say, to keep his job. I think he's got to focus on the league. Winning the Europa League would be nice, but I don't think it should be a priority at all.
Well, if you win the Europa League, though, you enter the Champions League.
Yeah, but if United were to win the Europa League and not finish in the top four, that would be a shameful season, I would say. I'd say it's a step backwards.
Well, they've still got Champions League, haven't they?
Yeah, but I mean, if United were to, say, for argument's sake, finish 5th, 6th and win the Europa League, I'd call that a step backwards from last season when we finished in the top four. I think the league is your bread and butter.
I kind of get your point. I do kind of get your point.
Here's a question for the three of you. As we saw with Liverpool a couple of months ago, they pretty hastily got rid of Brendan Rodgers when it was made known to them that Klopp was available. It's well sort of documented that Pep's looking for a new job come the summer and is probably going to be leaving Bayern. Should United go all out to get Pep?
I think we should wait until the end of the season, review the season and go from there. I don't think we should be rushing into anything like that.
Can you read Luis's statement today saying that they're not interested in Pep?
Who, United?
I think so.
Well, they're going to have to say, they're probably saying something now, but they can't really. They can't really say, yes, we're looking for a manager.
I think it's fair to say United officially aren't looking for anyone at the moment. I think it would be unwise to cause destabilisation at the club, and they should at the moment back Van Gaal. At the end of the season, maybe review it, but he's got a 3-year contract, and it always seemed the case that that is how long he's intending to stay and how long the club intends him to stay. It also seems very clear that Ryan Giggs is being backed as possibly the next United manager, backed by Van Gaal, and he seems appreciated in the club.
If a manager, though, with the quality of Pep becomes available, do you not change your plans?
There's other managers out. There's other top managers out there. Pep is obviously a top class manager. He's top, what, five in the world, top 10 easily. But no, personally,
he's always had it handed to him. I think Pep by now is overrated. When has he ever gone to a club and done a Klopp and actually build it up or anything like that? Or he's always gone to a club that's on at a higher time, got the best possible players, and doesn't really do much. Obviously, well, he does too much in terms of winning, but he doesn't do much in terms of build them up from scratch, if that makes sense. Because United probably will need a bit of building up.
Yeah, should we move away from United and then move over to Man City, who actually won their group
quite convincingly?
Yeah.
Well, I love how all the Man City fans at half time having a meltdown, going, bring back Man City! We haven't got a defence anymore. And then they go and win the group, and then they've all gone a bit quiet. So, but yeah, no, fair play to see. They're doing well.
They beat Juventus and Sevilla. I think they did very well to finish top of their group. I think it's a really important step for them if they're going to proceed in the Champions League and get, you know, quarter-final, semi-final placing.
Well, they can get a winnable game. Because I think I was looking already at the teams that have come second. It's only really PSG
They're bound to get PSG, aren't they?
I think.
Because it's all well, corrupt.
Chelsea have got one of them up, so they could top the group as well.
I guess, though, City would want... well, it depends, because Porto being in Chelsea's group, it depends if City fancy Porto or not, or Kiev.
Well, Porto currently going out.
Yeah, well, that's why I said, or Kiev. I mean, I'm presuming Porto will finish second, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see.
Or Ghent.
Something I want to
mention. I would say that City on their day, a fit starting 11 could be a match for anyone, really. You've seen over the last couple of years, they've got them beaten by the likes of Bayern and stuff in games.
I think when you look at their attack, it is quite dangerous. Like, you've got Aguero, Silva, obviously top quality players have been at City for a while. You've got Yaya Toure, but then they've added De Bruyne, who was like the best player in Germany last season. He's made a terrific start. He's such an intelligent player. Sterling also has done very well. Now, I said on this podcast that he wouldn't, and he's been fantastic for them. He was fantastic last night. He scored a couple of goals, and he's just generally, he's played really well for City. And I can see...
And again, on the meltdown thing, weren't the City fans at half-time saying Liverpool could have him back?
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Right, so we'll move away from that conversation now. And it's a return of some pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do triple threat rules, so you're going to give me three answers each.
Three answers each?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So we're going to, first round's going to be Anthony, then Nick, then Richard. So you ready?
Yeah.
So the first question is, what would be England's starting 11 if Hodgson based his selection on fancy football points? So I've brought up a 4-4-2. So basically, it's one keeper, four defenders, one midfielder, two strikers, who have the most points. And it's based on the positions that the Fantasy Football League gives. So, for example, they have David Clinton in midfield, he played most of the season with defender.
Is this the Premier League one?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Who would be England's starting 11 based on their points?
When you say three answers, so like one of us says three, then the other person says three and continue on. Oh, right. I thought you were saying, sorry.
Anthony?
Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. Yeah, he takes one of the strikers. Nick?
Oh, yeah.
What were the questions?
Sorry?
What was the questions?
What would England's starting 11 be if Hodgson based a selection on the fancy football points?
Ooh!
If you're playing 4-4-2.
That had Vardy's been said, and who was the other one that was said?
That's it.
Tony Vardy.
Okay, I reckon it would be Jack Butland.
Yes.
Good shout.
Richard. I'll go Chris Smalling.
Yes. Anthony?
Ross Barkley.
Yes, he's got 87 points.
He's done well for me on that.
Sorry, you probably said it, but 4-4-2, right?
4-4-2.
I reckon the second one would be Harry Kane.
No, he missed out by 1 point.
Oh, you fuck. Fuck. No, no. God, no. Please,
Richard.
No.
what did I go with? Sterling?
Yes. That's 62 points.
Theo Walcott?
No. Nick?
Yes.
Deep in thought.
That Butland, Smalling, Barkley, Sterling, Vardy.
John Stones?
No. Richard?
I'm going for, because you said that Kane wasn't, so I'm thinking who else? There's that Watford one, Deeney.
Yeah, he made it.
Wow.
He's got seven.
Really?
Yes, we're starting 11. So it would be Butland and goal. The defenders would be Smalling, Scott Dan, Glenn Johnson, Eric Barnett.
Scott Dan, fuck it. Red Johnson.
Christ. Midfield, Ross Barkley, Sterling, Mark Albright, and Dele Alli.
Oh,
yeah. Vardy and Dean.
That would be an interesting to see him at the World Cup.
Do you reckon he actually looks at fancy football, or does he think that's just like nonsense?
It is nonsense, to be fair, keep picking the best team.
Is it really, though?
It's kind of true, though. Yeah,
it's,
but... No, because it doesn't appreciate, like, defensive midfielders, for instance, don't get any points on fancy football.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Or defensive... Well, defenders, really. It's defenders that attack who get your points.
Wenger's gone with that approach for a while, hasn't he?
Did
he ever think or need a defensive midfielder? Right, so the point to the end of that was Anthony has two, Nick has one, Richie has three. Right, so last weekend's probably the most strangest set results I've ever seen. And it saw Chelsea fall to their eighth defeat of the season. So my question is, are Chelsea in a real relegation battle?
Well, every week we say no, and then after every couple of weeks, there's another game.
That's what I'm saying, it's their eighth defeat of the season.
Yeah, so unless they do start to pick up some wins, then they are still hanging around it, aren't they? Well, they're 3 points off it still.
They're 1 point off it, aren't they? Oh, no, two points
off, but then they're 4 points behind West Brom, so even if they win the next game, they're not going to move up.
I think there's three teams that will be worse than Chelsea over the course of a season. There's no way they're going to get relegated. You know, the likes of Sunderland, Bournemouth, Norwich, Villa, Newcastle are in it as well. There will be three teams worse than Chelsea by the end of the season. They'll have a bad season. And it may... Sorry?
How Mourinho is still in a job, though, at the moment is a miracle.
Well, it's
refreshing.
Off previous form, isn't it?
They'll be standing behind managers. It's what they should do. Swansea maybe should bloody take
those. Any other top club, because they are a club that should be at least second in the league.
If Alex Ferguson had a season like this,
the resources that they've got, and to be the best manager they are.
If Alex Ferguson had a season like this, do you think United would sack him towards the end of his career?
I think he would fall on his own sword. I think he would say, you know, hands up, I've completely blown this. I'll leave.
I think it's pointless changing managers like for a big club like Chelsea now, though. I think at the end of the season, they should sit down and review it with Chelsea. I don't think they can sack Mourinho. I think Mourinho might walk. He might get fed up and walk, but that's a separate issue. I think they've just got to stand by him for now. They won't get relegated, but they might not make, you know, Europe. I suppose just see how the season plays out. There's not a lot else they can do.
Well, you look at the United last year, and like Moyes, the lowest they were ever going down to was went to like ninth, weren't they, at points.
But then I don't think United should have sacked Moyes until the end of the season, at least. Should. Well, they maybe should have sacked him, but I didn't like the timing of it. I think you know, at that point they should have just waited till the end of the season and reviewed it then. But on the Mourinho issue, I can't see Chelsea going down. There's too many teams worse than them, and they do have the quality in their side. I think they'll. It's impossible to say, really. You know, you keep saying, "Oh, they'll finish top four, get European football." They'll be all right. They're not going to have a great season. They're getting mid-table, I reckon now.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teams that are worse than them, but those teams are going out there and playing 100% to try and stay in the league. Are the Chelsea players giving 100% in these games?
They're not. But if Chelsea were on the brink towards the end of the season, then players would care. They'd have to step up. You know, they're top players. They have to step up to the plate.
They're top players, but a lot of them are mercenaries.
John Terry isn't. Probably the only example I can give, to be fair.
But no, I think they'll be fine. It's just it. So I think also I think after Christmas that you never know, they could just have one of these runs where they just win every game.
Do you want to know a bit of trivia? So does anyone know the only English champions to be relegated?
Ooh,
Blackburn.
They got relegated a couple of seasons after they won the championship.
I don't know.
It's all about winning the league then getting relegated.
Yeah.
Oh, so before Premier League, etc.
Yeah.
Was it Derby?
Yeah, it's Man City. They won their first ever league title in 1936-37. Then finished 21st the next season. I think it happened to one of the Milan clubs in the 70s as well, didn't they?
Well, they got relegated in the early 2000s, but that was because of match fixing, not because of poor play.
Yeah, yeah. Juventus, so that was match fixing. Yeah. So it happened to AC Milan, possibly the late 70s, early 80s. They won the league and then got relegated.
This is the Premier League, anything can happen.
Right, so we move on to quickly, Peter. Swansea have sacked Gary Monk. Nick wants to rant about this, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's a disgraceful decision. He was the probably the best manager in the Premier League last season, and now finds himself in the unemployment line. I can understand it if they're in an Aston Villa type mess. They're 15th in the league. They're probably not going to go down. Back your manager. He's proven he's a quality manager. Why can't you stand by him?
Well, they've lost one. They've won one game in 11.
Stand by your manager.
Do you blindly stand by your manager under any circumstance, or you know what point should?
But you just said that they stood for Chelsea. Though.
Yeah, no, it's a different situation with Chelsea, though. I think.
Well, the Swansea are a big club as well. Chelsea are 14th, and Swansea are 15th.
No, it's a different situation because Swansea are under genuine peril of getting relegated, and this decision for me is probably the best decision in order to not get relegated. I think they're in a slump, and I don't think they're going to get out of it under Gary Monk.
I don't know how you can say that, and after what you just said about Chelsea, though,
because it's different.
The slump that Chelsea are in are a much bigger slump than what Swansea are in.
Because I don't think Chelsea won't get relegated this season. Swansea may get relegated this season. There is a serious risk that could happen.
I agree on that, but the drop from what Chelsea were to what they are is far greater than what Swansea were to what they are now.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think they're two different cases though. And also the other thing I would argue is that Swansea, I am assuming Swansea have plans for a new manager. There's not really anyone Chelsea could get in to replace Mourinho, who's you know, big enough to coach that club. I think.
Get up Van Gaal.
I think Brendan Rodgers is probably the favourite to take over, I would assume.
Oh, he said he's not in the running, though.
All right.
They're going to give him bloody Gasport.
Well, I think Swansea would have probably got a manager in mind, or that they've got a plan. I would hope so, anyway. But I think
they have a philosophy, don't they? So I can't get somebody.
But then, when everyone, when Laudrup was sacked a couple of years ago, and well, I think it was 2 years ago, Gary Monk was brought, and everyone was criticising Hugh Jenkins for that, and look how it turned out. You know, great season last season. I think it's easy to say you shouldn't sack your manager; you should stand by your manager because you're assuming that manager can get them out of the mess they're in. I think a manager can come in and do better, a manager can come in and do worse. On the balance of probabilities, I would say the next manager will do better than what Gary Monk is doing at the moment.
So we'll move on to the second game, unless you want someone else to say.
No, I don't disagree with him. I think that I like Gary Monk. I think he's a good manager, but I think it just come to the end of the run with Swansea. I think he'll find another job and do well at it.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to the second game. It's Nick first this time. So, I want to name players who've won the Premier League six or more times with Man United.
Nick's at a disadvantage.
With Man United?
Yeah.
Ryan Giggs?
Well, originally it was going to just be players who've won six more times, but they're only Man United players.
Yeah, about Ryan Giggs then?
Ryan Giggs, yeah.
Can I ask how many answers there are in total?
Which order is it?
10.
Okay.
Which order are we going in?
Nick, Richard, Anthony.
I'll go Skulls then.
Yep.
I didn't think of that one. Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, yep.
Gary Neville.
Gary Neville won it 8 times, yep.
Bex.
guess they won six.
The other Neville, Phil Neville.
Yes, he won a six.
Sir Beckham's gold. I want to go for a bit of an obscure one. I want to go for Wes Brown.
No. Don't think you're dead. I'm going for the other one of the 92, Nicky Butt.
Yep, he won six times.
That was mine.
Last one, I did.
Yep. Yeah, it's getting fun now.
Spoiler. Had three left.
Yeah.
There's two I'm thinking of.
There's one. I've got one in my. Peter Schmeichel.
No.
No.
Did Ollie?
Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer. So Brian Cook's 13. Uh-huh. Paul Scholes 11. Gary Neville got 8. Dennis Irwin got 7.
Oh, Irwin. Oh, he was class.
Roy Keane got 7. Beckham 6. Nicky Butt 6. Phil Neville 6. Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer 6. And Rio Ferdinand got 6.
Ferdinand, no.
Right, so the end of that. Richard is in lead 6. Anthony's got 4. And Nick's got 3. And you're going to hate me in the next one.
Can't wait.
So, we don't tend to discuss Scottish football very much on the show, but I saw the revamp they're doing to the League Cup, which I thought was quite interesting. So basically they're going to introduce a group stage, which will involve the 38 teams that are not involved in Europe, plus the winners of the Highland League and the Lower Land League. They'll be in groups of 5, play each other once, 3 points, and 1 point. But at the end of a draw, they'll go straight into the shootouts, and the winner will get a bonus point.
It's an interesting idea, and I could see it working in England, actually.
Mm.
But in Scotland, it's like, Jesus, some of those games are going to be
like
two men and a dog.
Yeah.
Like, are they really going to be going along to an away match in the cup?
I can
see some of them.
I wonder that Scottish bloke on the bus.
Especially if your team's pretty much is already out. It's a dead rubber match, and you're going from like the south of Scotland up to the Highlands. An away game on a Tuesday night. It's going to have about 5.
I think it'd be disrespected by the bigger clubs. I think it'd be seen as second fiddle to the main league, and focus on the league.
Also,
well, not
do they have bigger clubs in Scotland? You mean less?
Well, no, I meant if they introduced in England. I think.
Is it something that you think would work in England?
I don't think it would because of that. I think it's a nice idea, but no, I don't think it would. Well, one, because, yeah, it would be disrespected by certain clubs, I think. I think those, chasing promotion and that, they're not going to want
to. First couple of rounds tend to be taken seriously anyway.
Well, the other thing I would say is
you'd have 4 games you could play your kids in rather than just the one where they got knocked out.
I think as a money spinner, though, for the lower league clubs, it could help.
I'd also argue, though, reduce the possibility of shocks if it's a league format, because you know your big teams get a second chance. So I'd argue against it because of that aspect as well. Because if you lose a game, you're not out of the cup. A Swansea or whoever lost to Dagenham or what, They're not out of the cup. That's not it. Where it's like a winner takes all scenario, which I think is what makes the cup so good in this country. The FA Cup is so magical because
I'd
have it the League Cup. I wouldn't touch the FA Cup.
It's still called the Johnson's League Paint Trophy.
Yeah, that's the lower division one. Yeah,
but if it's made it a bit more, even more regional than it is, and then. Playing groups.
It would have to be.
I don't think the lower leagues need any more games.
Yeah.
In the league, like 46 games.
The Johnston's paint job is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think though it's like the League Cup in the sense where if your small League Two club gets to the quarters or the semi, they think they can win it, and it means a lot to them. I think it's similar to the League Cup in that respect, where you know, the Johnson's Paint Trophy means about the same to a top League One club as it does as the League Cup means to, say, Arsenal. You know, yeah. Don't care unless you get to the semis or whatever, and then you're excited and you want to win it.
Nick, you wanted to review the FA Cup?
Yeah, there wasn't really many upsets, but a big shout out to Salford for the one of the Hartlepool.
It's a great game, that.
It was a good game, wasn't it? It wasn't as good as I thought as the last win against County, Notts County. But winners will get Derby County at home.
I'm looking forward to that. I might be heading down.
Eastleigh, the only guaranteed non-league side left in the competition after 13. They win at Stanbridge. They're rewarded with a home tie against Bolton.
Yeah, see how good did all the players look when Bolton came out?
Well, the thing is,
you want Sally? You have much fun. Yeah.
The Championship, they can actually win that.
Yeah.
At Eastleigh, and Bolton aren't very good, so I think they could fancy their chances.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good opportunity for a shot.
Whitehawk, fantastic drama at Dagenham. I was actually there myself. 95th minute equaliser. Sending almost like a war zone behind the goal, with Whitehawk fans going mental, rightfully so. The reward for both of them sides is a nice trip to Goodison Park and Everton away. But yeah, no, not really many sort of classic FA Cup upsets in the second round. But a few non-league teams, they're still knocking around. They can get through their replays, of course. Other shouts to Liverpool. Could be a tougher game away at Exeter City. That's a real FA Cup tie, that, isn't it? Chance for that upset there. Manchester.
Yeah, they played them.
Yeah, they drew United, didn't they? Yeah, it was at Old Trafford.
I spoke to on the fancast yesterday with Brian Smedley. I spoke to him. They played in the League Cup, Liverpool, Exeter. Liverpool won 3-1. Andy Carroll scored an absolute screamer that day. Probably his only goal for the club.
Yeah, no, that should be quite a good. I hope that's on the BBC, that game.
TV tie's been announced yet?
I don't think so, no.
I assume it won't be replayed.
Tomorrow, I suspect. But yeah, no, there's that. City with a game away at Norwich. Arsenal, the holders, are home to Sunderland. So I hope that's not on the telly, because that would be two crap games to put on the telly. Yeah. Chelsea with a winnable game.
I like it when there's lots of all Premier League side teams. Ties. Yeah. Gets loads of, I think there's five all Premier League teams. So, ties.
Gets them out early. Chelsea, home to Scunthorpe or Leighton Orient. So could even meet one of them soon. Could meet Scunthorpe next year. They come up from League One.
You think the Premier League would?
No, Chelsea could.
Oh, Chelsea could.
Championship. And United, who I've actually forgotten who they've got, they're at home.
Sheffield United.
That's it, Sheffield United. So some potential guys. I like the look of that Exeter Liverpool getting that big.
What really annoys me about that Man United Sheffield United one is that it's still an official members only for tickets. So you've still got to stump up the £20 to become a member before you can then even.
I bet anything that's on the telly as well, though.
Apply for a ticket. I was thinking that as soon as I heard it, I thought, right, this could be the first game that I get to take my kids to go and watch. Because I was hoping that the tickets would be cheap, but we'd be being a cup match against the lower league side. But no, you still got to be paid for an official membership first.
I think
so. Thanks a lot, you know.
I think they'll go down. I don't think they're going to sell out, especially after what happened last night. I think they're going to struggle to sell the tickets. So I reckon they could go down in price.
Yeah, but you're still going to pay for the official membership first.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to sell to members, is what I'm saying. I don't think. I think they're going to struggle to sell the tickets.
And that, well, hopefully they go on general sale and they can actually get to go along.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But yeah, no, that's about it. I've got a couple of plays. So hopefully that Exeter Liverpool game should be. It caused a few. An episode.
Something I saw mentioned, there were people criticising the BBC for favouring Salford by picking them in both rounds of the FA Cup so far.
Well, I think, to be fair, round one, there was a few options they could have changed. Well, they went for Salford because they've just had the documentary, etc. However, round two, there was quite slim pickings, to be fair, and it probably was the best game to put on.
The coverage, though, is very much. It's like watching an England game on the telly.
Yeah. And it's like, it's quite clear that even the commentators are rooting for one side.
Mm. Well, I think it's always been like that, though, hasn't it? They're always rooting for the underdogs. And I think everyone accepts that, to be fair. When Brighton played against Brighton, the game against Warwick and FC United on the telly a few years ago, and round one and round two on then, what was it called? On ESPN. And you just have to accept it, really, because everyone wants the underdogs to win. I'll just look at a couple of replays for next week. You've got Hartlepool against Salford, and then Whitehawk against Dagenham and Redbridge. There should be some good games.
Nice. Well, we'll move on to the last game.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the hardest of the three rounds.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, Richard Anthony there this time. So I want you to name players who've made their England debut when they were 30-plus since 1980.
Can I go... I'm not going first, am I? I'm going last.
Since 1980, named players who were 60 plus when they made their England debut.
Okay, you've got that, Aaron.
Aaron?
I've got a clue.
How many answers are there correct?
11.
Okay.
Jeez.
I've got two.
Well, I haven't got one, so probably for you at the moment. I'm trying to work back my years.
If I got locked away, tell me honestly, would you still love me the same?
It's alright, we've got all day.
I'm trying to think of the one that it was, how old that one for Charlton was.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
What's his
the
name?
One that played like two games.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I don't know.
Do you remember the guy's name?
Was it Chris Powell?
Chris Powell, yeah. He was 31 years, 174 days.
Hmm.
Yeah, answer it.
Ricky Lambert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is it my guy? Leon Osman.
Good show.
Yes. Yeah, Leon Osman was 31 years, 183 days. Back to Hero.
I really don't know.
You'll know every player on this list.
I don't know. Pass.
Yes.
Okay, Anthony.
Kevin Davis.
Ah, you twat.
Yeah, he was 33, 200 days.
I think he was the oldest debutant. I could
he's,
be wrong.
Yeah, he's the oldest ever.
I've got a one, which I think he could be late 20s, but he's definitely an England call-up because obviously he's an idol. But Bobby Zamora?
No, I don't think
he's... You may have to look into this. Can you check? Because I was just thinking, it was definitely 2010. He's 34 now.
And that would be 29.
5 years ago. Shit, it was probably 29 then, wasn't it? Fucking hell. Who did Hero go for?
No one.
I went pass.
Passing again. You thought along your Hero.
It's not me yet, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Nick got it wrong. He was 29. That's if you pass, and then Anthony gets the next one, which will draw.
Oh, I've got one, but I'm not sure.
I think I might. No one going back Blackburn way? Was Tim Sherwood?
Yes. He was 30 years, 52 days.
Okay, wow. That's close, that. Well pulled out, to be fair.
Hero's one, so do you want to carry on?
I was going to say Nigel Martin.
No.
Okay. I know he played when he was old, but I don't know when he made his debut.
I think he was one of the oldest players to carry on playing for him. He was 35, 36 in his last appearance.
Was Marcus Bent as well was in my head for some reason. I don't think it's right.
No, it's not my list.
Who was that one that played for West Ham a few years ago?
Kevin Nolan.
He's never played for England.
No, the one that got like players player of the year when he was playing for West Ham.
Mark Noble. I don't think he ever played for England.
Yeah, he's not 30.
No, not him. He's got Parker. He's retired now.
Scott Parker.
Players player of the year.
Yeah, it might have been Scott Parker. How old was he when he first got a debut?
He was in his early 20s.
Yeah, I thought he was early.
Who's he playing for now?
I thought he got it quite late on.
Is Scott Parker still at Fulham?
No,
yeah, he must still be at Fulham. I thought he was quite old when he got his first cap.
I thought he was only old when he became good. when he was at West Ham, like, even though down, he was amazing.
He was good at Chelsea, weren't he?
He was class. Yeah, him.
2003, main stadium.
I think he's quality, Scott.
So you've got to add Anthony. No, Nick, do you want your last guess?
Because he was wouldn't shut up.
There is one anyway, but can I have a guess again?
I would like to have a guess. It could be some washed up goalkeeper. I don't know. Someone like
David Batty.
That's
in his 20s. I have no
idea.
Gareth Barry?
No.
He was like 19.
I was going to say, he was...
I'm going to add Kevin Davis. Steve Bold was 31 when he made his... Leon Osmond, his pal, was 31. Kevin Richardson was 31. Steve Guppy was 30.
Never heard of him.
No, me neither.
Alan Thompson was 30.
Never heard of him.
Who's Paper Villa?
No.
Salty. Tim Sherwood was 30. Harry Benison was 30. Dave Bessence was 30. And Steve Perryman was 30.
Didn't know any of them players.
So congratulations, Richard.
Congratulations. Great performance.
Can I just say something as well? For next week, I'm putting together a mastermind quiz for all four members. Of the four members of the podcast, of which they've got to now revise a subject for next week. So if anybody else wishes to join in, the subjects are, if you want them to name your three.
I've got Tom.
Sorry,
I've got Tom Cleverley as mine. Greatest English midfielder in history.
I've gone for England at Euro 96.
And Nick's gone for...
FA Cup upsets.
No, you've gone for the championship.
Oh, yeah.
Before we started writing your questions, I've changed it.
Can I change it to can I change it to Batman?
I think I'd do quite well
did
on that
Batman
topic.
Play for, who did he play for? And Shane has gone for the South African World Cup in 2010.
We went for Hercules.
Is it the politics of the South African World Cup or the actual football that was played?
He just said the 2010 World Cup. So there is actually some politics in there as well.
Oh, I loved how corrupt.
Did anyone watch
it
the BBC Panorama this week? It was very good.
Yes.
I love how corrupt everything was.
Yeah, I'm glad to watch it.
The one thing that I came away thinking of it was the guy who had spent his 15 years chasing down Sepp Blatter. Reminds me of across of Boris Johnson and Columbo. He was just like this bumbling old man.
Yeah.
But before we go, Anthony, do you want to tell us about your latest fan cast and what you've got planned for the moment?
Yeah. Well, I spoke to Brian Smedley yesterday. The fan cast was released yesterday. Spoke about Liverpool for quite some time.
It's fan cast you've had to do an extra time.
So I managed to cut it down into the best half an hour of it, and then I've done an extra time which has got all the deleted scenes, if you like.
Check the extra time as well. Probably a quarter more using the actual.
Well, as long as people are listening to it, I'm happy either way. I'm really looking forward to the final episode I'm doing next week. Should be released next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd have thought. But we're talking Man United, and we're going to do a special group fan cast. So we're getting a few United fans on and all talking the club, and especially after what's happened in Europe, it'll be interesting to see what their thoughts are on Van Gaal and Guardiola and such. So, and I'll do my best. I'll do my best not to have an opinion and let our panellists have the opinions.
Anthony, can you ask them what they think about the wizard on and at Brighton?
The wizard at... Yeah, but they won't know that. if I do a Brighton fan cast, I think I did...
The wizard. The wizard on loan for Man United.
Wizard... Oh, James Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give James Wilson a mention as well as Yanazai, who's also out on loan. But, yeah. How's James Wilson done so far, out of curiosity?
He came on and hit the post on his debut, and then he started
again. He scored like a wonder goal.
He scored an absolute wonder goal. He took on like the whole team.
He ran past three players.
The real deal. Apparently, he can be recalled after 28 days, so might as well just accept you're going to call recall him.
We'll swap him back for Rooney.
All the Everton fans of my office reckon Rooney's going back to Everton because he's watching them on.
Yeah, I think that will happen in the summer. The only thing is that how the hell would Everton pay for it?
Would they just a straight swap deal for
Lukaku?
Lukaku's the best striker in the league.
He's done well in fantasy football.
I don't mean as in a sort of initial transfer up front. I mean, how are you going to pay $300,000 a week to keep him in?
It's a new TV deal comes up next year.
What's the top wage at Everton? Probably about $50,000.
I'd assume it's Lukaku. He's probably on about 80 or so, I would guess. But I don't know for sure. Or Jagielka, maybe.
I don't imagine it's over 100,000.
You're going up now. Maybe it's not over 200,000.
It's not going to be much, whatever it is. It's not going to be like a third of what Rooney says.
Anyway, shall we finish there?
I think so, yeah.
Alright, so follow us on Facebook. No, follow us on Twitter. It's at B2Football. Subscribe to our YouTube page. Check out all the latest articles on B2Journal.com. Join in the debate at 606B2.com. So, see you at the Christmas special next week.
Hooray!
Bye, guys.
Merry Christmas.